Testament reading from Psalm 41. And this is our usual practice when we have a reading from this altar. We will read it. Sit up nice and tall so you can read this understanding all together. It says to the chief musician, the psalmist, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sickbed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. And the Testament reading. We'll refer to that in a moment. Let's then turn back to our New Testament reading, this time from Matthew 26. Matthew, the first of the four Gospels, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 46, beginning at verse 47. Again, the Word of God, please listen carefully to this entire word. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given him a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately, he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, and Jesus' sword struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen now? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples were sick. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will enlighten us with understanding, even as it says in alive in the depth and the love of Christ that passes man. Lord, we know that we cannot see, we cannot profit from the Holy Scriptures unless your Holy Spirit opens up our eyes, gives us understanding, and takes away the natural blindness that we have because of Adam's first sin. Lord, we pray that you will enable us to grow in grace and knowledge to the glory of God. We pray these things now. In his precious and worthy name. This message is part of a series based on texts which contain the phrase that it might be fulfilled. Today we come to Matthew's account of Jesus' betrayal at the hands of one of the 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot. To betray is to break one's promise, to be disloyal to, or to be unfaithful to. It is to double cross, or deceive, or cheat on a spouse, or a dear friend. Perhaps you or someone you know has been betrayed by a person in whom you have confided, in whom you have placed trust. Judas Iscariot was one of Christ's disciples. Now, Jesus had a lot of disciples. This was to be expected. He was a spellbinding speaker who could hold people's attention. The common people heard him gladly. What he said made sense. It was true to Scripture. It was enlightening. He illustrated his points with illustrations that made his teaching accessible and understandable. He used parables that fixed those ideas in people's imagination. People of all ages loved to listen to him. Not just old, but the young too. Think of the little boy's lunch, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that through Jesus' blessing fed a great multitude. That was a little boy who came to hear Jesus. He could have been back home playing with his friends, but he joined a big crowd to sit quietly and listen to the great teacher. That was something he wanted to do. Do our little boys and girls want to hear Jesus? Do our parents take advantage of every opportunity to have their children hear Jesus? Some children tell their parents that church is boring. They'd rather be somewhere else enjoying themselves. Some parents take the easy way out. They give in and let their child get pushed. So their children do not hear the story of Jesus week in and week out as God intended. They grow up to think that the story of Jesus isn't all that important. They do not seek him with all their heart, and they do not live their lives as followers of Jesus. They die, having enjoyed themselves every Lord's morning, but they die without him. What do you suppose they will say when they stand in front of the Lord at the final judgment? Lord, I wasn't much interested in you when I was my age. Your story wasn't as exciting as watching videos or gaming. How do you suppose Jesus will answer them on that day? Will he say, that's okay, I should have made my story more exciting? The story of Jesus is the best story in the whole world. It's the story of God's love to mankind and sending his Son to save us. Every little boy and girl in the whole world ought to hear that story. Every little boy and girl in the whole world ought to know it by heart. Every little boy and girl in the whole world ought to hear it by heart. Yes, Jesus was a big teacher. He had a lot of disciples. Luke chapter 6 records that he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose Christ, whom he also named Apostle. At the end of the list, though, in this text, we find two Judases. Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also is betrayed. Jesus had two disciples named Judas. Judas, the brother of James, is distinguished from Judas Iscariot, to be called Judas. But notice, Judas Iscariot was not just a casual acquaintance of Jesus. He was in the inner circle, one of the 12. He had the great honor of being one of the 12 apostles, men who were commissioned by Christ to go in his place to preach the gospel. So he threw it all that away in the pursuit of one for his own. Earlier in the great chapter, which is 14 and following, we read these words. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out for him 30 pieces of gold. And from that time, he sought opportunity to be chosen. Judas saw a business opportunity. He knew that the chief priests and temple officials hated Christ. He knew they wanted to get rid of him, but they had a problem. That was Jesus' popularity with the common people. They wanted to arrest him, but he needed to do it secretly so as not to catch the attention of Jesus' supporters. Judas had his money, but he needed the right opportunity. Clearly, the temple authorities were corrupt. Rather than faithfully carry out their God-given role, they, like many people in power at all times in history, used their resources to increase their own power and God's security. Arrest the Messiah of God is not a part of their job description. So Jesus played into their hands, putting his inside knowledge of Jesus' schedule to use to serve their evil intentions. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a folly for a person. Jesus and the apostles, as observant Jews who strictly kept the annual feasts of the law, would observe the Passover together. Passover was an annual remembrance of God's deliverance of his people from Egyptian enslavement, a picture of man's deliverance from sin as the atoning work of God. Just as the death angel spared the household protected by the blood of the innocent lamb smeared on the doorpost and lintel, so sinners covered by the blood of Christ shall on the cross are spared eternal death and power. Passover was part of the ceremonial law, which has now been abrogated through the coming of Christ. But on this last Passover of the Old Covenant era, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper as Passover signifies. We see the precious Lord's Supper being said, "Blood commemorating the life of Christ and the life of the Lord." So after receiving the Lord's Supper, Jesus went out with the apostles to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus instructed his disciples to wait while he went on further to pray before his crucifixion. Consider the setting within the chapter. Here was the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, come in human flesh, and in his hour of greatest need. When he would be all alone, enduring the full brunt of Jesus and by the Father, just God, he would be doing what no man before or since had ever had to do. what should be, and that is to take our sin and Christ God for our sin. He did not have to die because it was innocent. No outside force or authority could require his death. He came to this earth for the purpose of dying. Thank Jesus. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Nobody else can do that. But only the Son of Man. So let us know. The 11 apostles, like all but Judas, who have done the work of temple authority, have fallen asleep. So their eyes were heavy. The Jesus awakened them several times. And the night finally was declared at this time. How is the large posse of soldiers coming in the dark at night to know who is God? Jesus is the only time to say, whenever I sit, he is the light. He is the light. So Jesus showed up to see Jesus. The word for sit in verse 49 is an intensified form of the word used the previous verse, verse 48. It means something like, this much, this again, and again, this tenderly. Judas didn't just give Jesus a second seat. He took the new Jesus up. Judas is sick. Appears to be already wounded. The doctor is rather intensive. But he's actually breathing. For 3.5 years, Judas had been in Christ's inner circle. He had walked and talked with Christ, and it appeared outwardly to serve him. He had earned the trust of all the apostles and served as their treasurer, responsible for managing their finances. And in time, he declared his fantastic master and will. Jesus is blessing Judas as friends during his life, demonstrating love even as they expect it. He who is the friend of sinners and who is born in deceit is the purpose of Jesus' life. Jesus questions, friend, why have you come? Is reminiscent of a part of our Old Testament text. Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his head to me. Here's a prophecy of Judas' betrayal of Jesus. The language in whom I trusted means that Judas is accepted in the Jesus' inner circle. He had received the same teaching, the same spirit of prayer, and the same assignment as the other apostles. It certainly does not mean that the Lord Jesus trusted in Judas in an ultimate sense, except that being a trust in God, or that he was called of God by Judas to pray. Jesus and the apostles trusted Judas to pray the same prayer. Our Lord entrusted Judas with teaching the holy gospel. But in the end, Judas proved to be a corrupted and an incorrupt. He was not taking the gospel, but as the one who came to God. His perfidy and unfaithfulness is a warning to all of us to constantly check our interest and be faithful. The expression lystophia means to sit. It expresses violence and contempt. The Latin expression. Hours before, Judas had lifted his foot so that Jesus could tenderly wash it before he the cup.